This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Good morning. Can you hear me? If you can, do something. Make sure that I speak loud enough. Claire tells me every once in a while when I get nervous or excited or whatever, I'll probably do all. I go quiet, so I'll try hard not to become too quiet for you. You all have a sheet of paper with you, in front of you, or with you, and hopefully you all have something to write with. Even now, as you're thinking and as you're praying and as you're looking, what are you longing for today? It could be something very simple. What do you long to happen even these 2 days that you're here? You could write those things down. Because your Heavenly Father, He loves to meet our longings. So have that paper there, and I'll explain the circles later about where it says my life. I'll explain that later. Yeah. When I'm really nervous, or not so much nervous, I'm thinking about a lot of things and I'm worried and stuff, then I forget numbers. I'm really good at remembering numbers. My husband says I'm like a telephone book. But when something strange is happening, I can lose numbers. When my mother was dying, I knew the bus depot number. I had known that for a long time, and I called that number, and I woke up our our real estate agent at 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't tell him who I was. I told him that about a year later, and he said, "I thought I recognized your voice." And, you know, speaking to a group of women like this, until I'm getting really used to who all you are and what's going on here, I can get a little shaky. But never as shaky as the first time I did my first solo on the airplane, when I didn't think I was going to do a solo, but all of a sudden, the instructor, after 30 hours of teaching me, he said, "Take off," and I didn't say no. And he shut the door, and I took off, and all of a sudden, I looked at my knees, and they were actually shaking like a leaf. And then I told myself, "Just relax, Claire, do what you're, just count." And I got it down safely, and in fact, the best landing I had ever made, and the last one. That's all I wanted. I wanted to make sure the plane doesn't fall out of the sky. I'm married for 60 years, this December 29th. We have 5 daughters. Many of you know them: Judy, Sharon, Carolyn, Kathy, Mary Lois. And we had 28 grandchildren. Many, many of you know already. 3 weeks ago, plus 3 days, Ian Gingrich was taken to Jesus in a head-on collision just here in Conestoga. That's one of the 28 grandchildren, so we have 27. There's one little story about another little grandchild, my youngest grandson. He's 3 now. I have a little granddaughter who's 1. But the 3-year-old, I babysit quite a bit when I'm home, and I won't be home for 8 weeks in this stretch. But when I get home, I babysit or help Mary Lois quite a bit with her children. And one day, many afternoons, I'd have them have the 2 little ones, the 3-year-old and the 1-year-old, for 3 hours. So the one day that I had little Zach and Ellie, I even remembered their names this morning, they were playing nicely. They always do. They're really good. You know how grandchildren are. And anyway, so then after all, Zach, the 3-year-old, he was finished playing. He had played a long time already. He says, "What do I do now?" And I think that's often what children say. And I said, "Well, let's play church." So we played church, and we were singing. And then I said, "Well, Zach, you could go in front of us and preach, talk about Jesus." He sort of thought for a minute, and then he jumped off the couch. He went in front of me and Ellie, and he looks very important, and he said, "Jesus came down. It's a mess down here. He died, and he went back up to heaven." And, you know, there was the gospel in a nutshell. It was just a beautiful picture to me. I often use that now in talking. What are some of your deep longings? I don't know if any of you wrote some of them that you have for today. Psalms 84. This psalm starts with longings. My soul longeth. And there's many, many verses talking about longing and thirsting. Yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Is that how you feel? Is that how you often long for? Now, on the back of your song sheet there, there's a song, your sheet there, there's a song, and I'd like all of us just to sing, and as you're singing, pray. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking. Usually my voice is okay. This morning, I'm not sure I'll get you started on the right tune. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and lend the thirsting of my soul. Cup, fill it up, and make me whole. And that is what Jesus is about in our lives, to fill up our cup as we are in touch with what we really long for, what's really deep inside of us. He will fill our cups. And every person here, every one of you women, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're a widow, whether your mothers, whether your grandmas and great-grandmas, we all have longings. I'll share a little about my own personal journey through some of the stages of my life. I can't give you all of it because you'd be here too long. I was one of the youngest of 13 living children. There were two more that had died in Ukraine and Russia. And during revival meetings in our little country church in Manitoba, very, very small church. Our family was big. We couldn't all go at the same time to church, so we'd take turns. And I couldn't go to the revival meetings, but when my daddy came back home, when they all came back home, they were talking about the many that had given their hearts to Jesus. And I said, I want Jesus in my heart. And I found the Lord at that time. And at the age of 9, there was a missionary had come to our community and to our church, and he was a missionary from God's Lake, Manitoba. And I sensed God calling me then that someday God would want me in Northern Ontario and with the First Nations people. Then for years, I was a teenager, nothing happened. And so I thought maybe it was just a childish dream. But between the ages of 18 and 20, there was a searching, a longing I had, and I didn't know what I was missing. And I didn't know whether it's another experience. I knew the Lord. And I'd go to youth meetings, and I'd think, this is where God's going to meet that deep longing I have, deep longing for something more. And I don't know what the something more was. And then I went to big evangelistic meetings in our churches, and nothing specific. One day I was in a basement of a house. It was a small group of Christian teachers. I was about 18, maybe, no, 20. And somehow there, the Lord shone a light into my heart and said, it was almost like I heard an audible voice, and the Lord said, do you really trust me? I said, yeah. And second time, and the third time, do you really trust me? And then I realized I was okay with being single, but I was so afraid if God had marriage, I really believed that God had a plan for my life, but if God had marriage for me, he might get me to like someone that was boring. And I didn't want to be married to a boring man, but what if God would want me to be? What a crazy thought. I thought, God knows me. He knows what I need. And when I was able to settle that in my heart, then it just really changed my perspective big time. That was the beginning of really being in touch with what my longings are. But we keep growing in our lives. And, yeah, my longings, see, God puts longings deep into our hearts. And I know that you can't all see this picture. This is just a little bit of a picture of my life. And at the bottom of our hearts, women, you have longings. And the longings are put there by God at birth, as little girls and as teens and as women that are growing up. But we all have disappointments in our life, no matter how good a family you come from. I came from a really special family. And my father just loved the Lord with all his heart. He was through a communist prison years before, and so I always say all his rough edges were rubbed off at the communist prison. Anyway, he was a good dad. I had a good mom. My brothers and sisters loved us. Sure, we were poor, and that we worked hard in the sugar beets in Manitoba, but I was longing. I realized as a married woman, Claire would often say to me, Clara, how do you feel? When some really hard things were going, I'd say, I don't know. He'd say, what are you feeling? I don't know. My girls, they'd come with their problems. They'd cry. And I didn't know that I had anything to say to them. Why? What was wrong with... I mean, that's not normal. Not really. And I just wanted to speak. I remember asking my brother-in-law, could I go get a course? I thought maybe if I'd get a course, then I'd know how to speak and speak. Speak what? I was puzzled. But the Lord keeps working us. He never lets us down where we are at. And so one day I was in a small group of women, and we were sharing stories. I was shy as a little girl. I was very quiet in school, in high school. Teachers loved me because I was quiet and good, and I studied. So they liked the quiet waters run deep, they wrote in my report card. But they had no idea there was something deeper. Nobody knew. Nobody saw this in little Clara. Anyway, but in this group, one woman looked at me and she says, Clara, you've been with us all these times we've been sharing. Why don't you share your heart? Why are you keeping your heart from us? And then I realized I believed a lie. And many of us have lies that we don't know it sometimes. I believed the lie that I'm not going to... The reason my family didn't hear me in this big family was because it probably wasn't smart. My big brothers, they're smart. My bigger sisters, they're smart. But I probably wasn't very smart. And so I decided to keep quiet. So I kept quiet. And I carried that into marriage. I carried that into motherhood. And I really missed my daughters. That's how I lived my life. If we believe lies, we'll live our life. And you know, one of the other things that happened for me was I was sexually abused as a child. But that was not the biggest damage that was done in my heart. It was more the fact that my family didn't know, a good family, didn't know to ask little Clara, what do you think? How do you feel? What's going on in your heart? They just accepted I'm a quiet little girl. Well, I'm not a quiet woman now. I'd let Claire know exactly what I think, feel, and everything else in between. So you don't know what you're feeling and longing for until you put words to it. That's why I asked you, do you know what you're longing today? Put it down. You don't know what you're feeling and longing for until you can put words to it. And I always tell women now, at least to yourself, and if possible, write it down, to God, but it really does help if you also tell it to one other person. What's going on in your heart right now, today? And let other people know. There's two main hurts that women have that keep them from believing. They can really let their Heavenly Father know everything that is in their heart. One of them I mentioned, sexual abuse. And you know, if any of you are at all struggling with that, find somebody, confess it, talk about it, pray together. God will help you in every aspect of your life. The next biggest hurt that women face is they don't really have a good relationship, or didn't have, with their daddy. And fathers are so important. And we just suggest, I remember for years, even before I really was in touch with some of my stuff, I knew it's important to be in touch with things with your daddy. And some women would say they just never knew their daddy. And we'd say, well, when you go home for a vacation now, why don't you take your dad out for a breakfast or for a coffee? And their eyes are frightened. They never dreamed of ever taking their daddy out by himself. It's always dad and mom. And I couldn't tell you the number of women that were on staff over the years that have done it. They've taken the cliff jump. They've gone home and actually said to their dad, I'd just like to know you better. Can I take you out for coffee? And the most, I'd say 95% of the fathers, it frightens them, but they are excited, and they do it, and they love it. And it just changes how the women can start being more open with their own hearts and lives. So after this happened to me, when I realized I was living this lie, that the reason people didn't hear me was because I'm not smart, my words aren't smart. When I saw the lie that Satan had been me believing all these years, I said, God never makes a woman that doesn't have good ideas. That's the truth. And I'm going to keep on, speaking. Well, I had to take many, many cliff jumps. I had to jump out of the boat many times, like Peter. I just had to get out of the boat and trust the Heavenly Father that I can do it. And I actually, I went home after that meeting with those women. I told Claire how I felt that I really missed him all those years because I didn't believe what I had to say was important. And so now I just take cliff jump and keep doing it. Now it's not much of a cliff jump after these few years that I've been practicing it. But I said, when I get home, I want to tell our five daughters. And by that time, we had one married daughter. It was that age that I came to. It was crazy. But I'm glad I wasn't 70 or 84 like I am right now. I'm glad it happened when I forget, 50s, 40, maybe late 40s. Anyway, I got the girls together and our son-in-law. I told them my story of growing up in that big family and how I just believed that what I had to say was not important. It was my perception. But you live with your perception. And so actually Judy, our oldest, fell into my arms and cried. And she says, Mom, so many times I wanted to tell you what was on my heart, but I knew that you couldn't handle it or hear it. And then my son-in-law said, Mother, even since I'm in your home, I've sensed that there was something keeping you from really entering into my heart. He gave me such a big gift by being so honest with me. And and it's so freeing when you don't believe those lies that come from your crazy, your perception as children. Maybe some of it's real, but talk, confess, James 5:16, talk, about anything that's in your heart with at least one other person and confess it and pray. Always, always back to pray. And, you know, I love that story of Peter and walking on the water. I feel this many times. I just have to jump out of the boat again, and like with strangers, to be witnessing. That's my big thing I'll tell you about. Do I go to 11:30? 32. Oh, good. walking on the water. You know, we can do ordinary things if we're willing to take our, just do things that are difficult for us and just get out of the boat, jump off the cliff. You know, some people do these cliff jumps to get more when they're on trails and stuff. Yeah, zip line. One time we were here at Camp Andrews, and somebody had us going on this zip, or had the family going to go on the zip line, and I thought, I don't have to. That's about, I don't know, about maybe 10 years ago. And, 15 years ago. Anyway, then my little grandchildren, they really wanted Grandma to go down that zip line. It's crazy, you know. And the little twins, they were about 4 years old. They're just tiny. They were just so slim and tiny. And they went down that cliff, that, zip line. And I thought, if they can do it, I can. So I did. It was terribly scary until you got to the bottom, and then it's fun. But I didn't do it again. Not that one. I didn't fly. I mean, I didn't take off by myself again either. I was flying. Yeah. You know, Ruth, her heart was just open to the Heavenly Father, whatever. You know, we all need to come to the Heavenly Father with our longings, our what we are looking for. And she just loved him so much, and she just did ordinary things. But we do ordinary things, but God does extraordinary things. He did with Ruth, big time. She became the forerunner of Jesus because she trusted in an extraordinary God. I like the book of Ruth. I often read it all in one setting. It takes only 20 minutes. It's amazing what you get from that. And the one big thing in the book of Ruth, for us as women, it calls us to be women of rest, not clamoring, but being women of rest. Mary, she was really trusting the Father completely. And then he called her to a very extraordinary thing. And she said, no matter what, God, she was going to have a baby not knowing a man. She was an ordinary girl, young woman. But she just trusted the Heavenly Father with something so big. And look what happened with her. I love to agree with people when I'm wanting to have God do something, you know, that I'm worried about or so forth. I like to Matthew 18:19. I just love those. I use that probably every day, where it says, where two are agreed touching anything on this earth, I will do it. So when it comes to what I long for, I often ask Claire, would you agree with me on this? And he pretty well always takes me up on it. And I call somebody on the phone, or I send a little email asking for prayer in a certain area. I love Elizabeth Elliot's writings. And one day, Elizabeth Elliot, many years ago now, was going to be at Thunder Bay book signing. And we happened to be in Thunder Bay for some other ministry. And so we stayed at the hotel, but this was just for women. Claire said, I just love to meet Elizabeth Elliot, because we had met her brother, who's a missionary in northern Canada. And I said, well, you know, he knew he couldn't just go up to her because it's a women's meeting. I said, let's At that time, I was just starting to use Matthew 18:19 and James 5:16. And so, actually, we kneeled by our bed in the motel and prayed for Claire's request. And I knew God was going to do something good. Well, the next morning, we got up for breakfast. They had breakfast in this hotel, pre-breakfast. And so we went in the dining hall. And for some reason, there was Elizabeth Elliot and her third husband, Lars. And they were sitting at the table, and she beckoned us over and said, and then we told her who we are. She wanted to know who we are. And she said, join us. It was much more than a handshake. And that was just one instance of where it was really fun. I just looked at Claire, and I thought, I was just excited. It was fun to see God answer a prayer of his desire so many times as my desires were praying about. Now, the next few minutes, I'd like to talk about your picture that you have in the front there. It says there, my life. I've filled this out several times in different ways for myself. And the last time I did it was 2016. And so that's about 3 years ago. And when I looked at what I had filled in, I saw some answers to prayer, and I saw some things had changed, something hadn't changed yet. So I'm going to walk you through this, and I hope you all have pens or pencils. If not, I have one left up here. I had more, and I kept dropping them in this building. So I do that. That's why Claire doesn't like me to use his pen, because I forget it, always place it somewhere wrong. And he still loves me. As we're looking at the last circle up on top, it says, what do I deeply long for? What would I really like to do now in my life? But I'm not going to start there. I'm going to start back here in the deep, deep anxieties. Problems that in 2019 seem like mountains to you. And then we'll get to the longings later. Because when we have problems, a lot of problems, what do we do with them? I've written some of mine down. I'm not going to read what I wrote. You know what your really deep, deep anxieties are right now in your life. And this is just for you. Write down whatever, and you might want to do it in sort of hieroglyphics nobody else will read, because if I don't want to lose mine. If I lose mine, nobody will know what I've written, because they're a little bit very personal. Yeah, one of them I don't remember, because I have a little C, and I don't know what that's about. Maybe when I get home, I'll figure that one out. Oh, now I get it. Okay, then the one in there, in the little bit, in that one next, in the big circle, but the big problems and prayer concerns. Now there I use Matthew 18:19 and James 5:16. And you know, Jesus had three friends, very close friends, Peter, James, and John. And if Jesus needed that, we need it more. You need at least 1, 2, 3 women that are really close to you, that you can go with anything that's on your heart. If you can't think of one, at least put one person's name down there. Some people, some places we go up north, they say, I can't trust anybody here. Are you sure? And then we pray about it. And amazingly, yeah, they always think of one, at least one other person. Now, some of mine have died. So I just keep adding. I have to, now they're all younger than me. Yeah, they're all younger than me now. I just realize that now. That's okay. The next ones, things in my life that have been normalized. Well, under the prayer concerns, what I wrote here, that our grandchildren, 27 of them now, will love the Lord with all their hearts. And there's a few others. Now, things in my life that have been normalized. Now, what's been something you can be really thankful for in your life? For me, I feel comfortable counseling, and I actually enjoy it. And that's, I've come to a new place there. That's normalized. The way I relate to my 97-year-old sister, she used to be like my mom. She'd tell me what to do, when to do, and how to do it, even after I had children. And she doesn't anymore. I feel now we're peers. I can tell her things, and I can enter her heart. So that's normalized. That's good. Years ago, I would have put that as... In fact, that was my big ones that I'd get counseling was when Claire would counsel me in front of a group, I'd bring my sister Sarah to the group, and then he'd counsel me, and that helped. It was just a little bit. Psalms 69 under that says, I will praise the name of the Lord with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Count your blessings. One little story here. I'm not all put together. It happens. I was a mess. Emotionally, and I was sitting in our big blue chair at home, and I just thought I was really down in the mouth. And so Claire didn't want to leave me alone, and he just was talking, and I confessed it to Claire. Confess, James 5:16, confess, pray one for another, healing will come. Even when you're down, really down, find somebody. Well, Claire was there. We talked and talked, and then after a while, he could see that I was just really down. So I saw him writing on a piece of paper. I didn't know what he was doing. And then he gave it to me, and then he left. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. And at first, I just wanted to sit there and continue sitting there. And then it made me mad that he had written this. Because he had written 1, 2, 3, all the way down to 20. And all of a sudden, I decided, I can start. I'll choose to be vulnerable. You have to be vulnerable. You know, God's made us as women to be soft, trusting, vulnerable, and spontaneous. Well, I had to be vulnerable again. So I started writing, and I all of a sudden realized I was writing faster and faster. I got to 20. And the first one I said I'm thankful for was Claire. Imagine after I was mad at him. And then the family and people to call for prayer, and my sisters, First Nations friends, Jesus close, his word. Enough money, healing of my eye that happened, beautiful Beaver Lake, and years of flying safely. So I wrote those, and then I thought, well, I guess I can see if I can find any really big prayer concerns. So I had quite a few. And then when I looked at it this January, this was back in, I forget, I didn't write the date. Yeah, July 2018, that was just last year. Well, then this January, I looked at this, and I see some answers. I marked down 1, 2, 3 answers for my prayer concerns. So find things you're thankful for, things in your life that are normalized. Praise the Lord for those things. I'd love to see all your writing. And then settled things in my life. Traveling is good. You know, the Lord spoke to me the last time we went to BC. I don't like to grumble. But all of a sudden, as we were driving to Winnipeg to get on the flight to go to BC for teaching for 2 weeks, all of a sudden the Lord said, enjoy this traveling. It's a privilege. You can fly. The ministry, you know, you get there. So I start being much more thankful. And, magnify the Lord with me. My walking, I have to walk for my diabetes. I'm diabetic for 23 years this year. Yeah. The year 1996, when both Mary Lois, our youngest, and Judy, our oldest, got married. I always tell them, it's because of your stress of your weddings I got my diabetes. Just kidding. No, I'm diabetic, and I was 200 pounds, and so that was the reason I got diabetes. But anyway, I've started walking from the day one that I had this diabetes 23 years ago, and I have walked and walked every day, And some of my funniest, craziest experiences are when I'm walking. One time I was walking in the Yukon, north in Inuvik, a big city. Sometimes we're in the city, sometimes we're in the country. And so I was in Inuvik, and we were in Inuvik, and it was cold. And so I bundled up we have a very, very, very warm clothing. When we leave here, it's going to be minus 22 where we're going up in Rankin Inlet, and it's going to be windy. But anyway, here it was about minus 30. So I walked the streets, the main street. But I thought I didn't see anybody on the main street, really. It's not a busy, busy city. So I was walking, and it was gorgeous outside with the snow and cold, and it was awesome. And I started singing. I figured, well, and you can sing when you walk. All of a sudden, a woman says, "Why are you singing?" And I was startled, and here was this woman. She was coming towards me. And she said, and then I said, "I'm singing because I'm so thankful for what God has given us here." And then she started to weep. And then she told me, right there, she was bundled, I was bundled, told us about her, she's a widow, and her son was using up all of her money, and she didn't know where to go from here. And so right there, we were able to just start talking about her issues. My walking stopped, but the Lord took care of that then later. But anyway, another time I was walking, it wasn't quite as pleasant this time. I was walking in Greenland, and my husband and the pastor were in the church, and I said, "I'm going to go do my walking now." And so I started walking, and all of a sudden I saw a man ahead of me, and I thought, not quite sure of him. So I turned around and I started walking back to the church. I didn't want to walk too fast. And all of a sudden I heard footsteps behind me, like he was walking fast. And I was almost at the church, almost at the door. And he comes and he grabs me and kisses me on my neck. And he was very intoxicated. And then I said, "Don't." And I opened the door, and my husband and the pastor were there, and they told him to go. So I've had crazier than that. But once in a while I write stories to my grandchildren, and so they know some of my stories. Now we're on the back one. I don't know what you've written down, settled things in my life. Now, what do I deeply long for? What would I really like to do now in my life? I'll tell you one that I have for an idea. That's been my focus, my goal, my longing since the beginning of 2019. I want to become very comfortable witnessing for Jesus. That's my real deep longing. It really is. And then one other longing, I'd like to visit our children for a week all this year. Already we've started visiting being with Sam and Kathy for 3 weeks with the loss of Ian. But the Lord delights to give us the desires of our heart as we delight in Him. Those are some of the verses down there. Do we really pant after God? But put some of your longings that are just ordinary. God loves the ordinariness of our lives as well. So, principles. Yeah, I think we have a few more minutes, but before I ask you to just, if you feel free to share at least one thing, either it's a problem or a longing or a difficulty or a whatever, and just real quick, no more than group of three in just a couple of minutes. Principles I keep in touch with my longings, put words to it. You don't know what you're longing for, you put words. Say it to yourself and to God. I've said it before. If possible, find one other person to talk to. Get them to pray with you and expect God to bring answers. But as you wait, when waiting gets long, sing. And if you can't sing, cry. And if you can't cry, groan. Because Jesus hears our groaning.
Claire?
Yes?
Why did you say in under several things in my life, why did you have it in a nutshell?
Mm-hmm. That Claire and I understand each other needs quite well. It's settled. And my walking is settled. I do it 30 minutes and it's settled.
Just your things in life, the settlement,
yeah,
of your day.
That really is settled. It's something I don't have to long for. Where's my water? Thank you, Lord, that it happened. No, it's the earlier. So, do you want to stand up? Heavenly Father, seeing the needs in all of our hearts, I just pray that, thank you that you are interested in meeting our everyday needs. In Jesus' name, amen. We have 1 minute left. In this 1 minute, I'll tell you, you can finish talking at break time and lunchtime. Just 1 minute, I'll tell you one story about our grandson that passed away 3 weeks ago, 3 days. One memory, we have many good memories. But one day, Ian, after he had been in Africa with a youth group, called me, and this was very unusual for him to say this to me, or in fact, the only time I remember that he said something to me, by himself. He called me to his bedroom, and he said, Grandma, I want you to see something. And they had just come back from Africa on a trip. And he said, and one wall was a map of the world in black. Right? You know how you cut the nose. At the end was a big picture of an African boy. He said, the only thing I wanted as a souvenir was this picture. And the eyes of the boy showed a lot of pain and longings. And he said, I don't ever want to forget the eyes of those boys and the needs. I don't want to get carried away with things in this life. I want to keep that in my mind. Now he's gone because of an accident, head-on collision. But we're praying as a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, that there will be other young men that will be called into going again, as Merle was talking this morning, going into the world and meeting the needs of people, young guys. You can pray through that. And God has been good in the pain.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.